This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas. Powered by U-Mobile, Malaysia's number one 5G network.
Good morning, you're listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Shazana Mokhtar. The Sustainable Energy Development Authority, better known as SEDA, was set up under an Act of Parliament in 2011 to drive the renewable energy agenda of the country. More than a decade later, Malaysia's RE ambitions have been redefined under the National Energy Transition Roadmap that was launched in August last year. With the energy transition now a national priority, spearheaded by multiple ministries, what role does SEDA play in the broad scheme of things? Joining me to discuss the developments with SEDA is the Chief Executive Officer, Dato' Hamzah Hussein. Dato', good morning. Welcome to The Breakfast Grill.
Good morning, Shazana. Thank you.
Now, the Energy Commission, or known by its Malay acronym ST, is the main regulatory body governing the energy sector in Malaysia. What was the rationale for carving out sustainable energy under a separate body back in 2011? How does SEDA's mandate contrast with the ST?
As you know, ST is established under the Energy Supply Act, ESA, and also ST Act, the Energy Commission Act. Their focus is mainly on the overall supply of electricity. Of course, as you know, the energy mix in our country comes from many resources, coal, hydro, and other things. And back in 2011, the government decided to focus on driving a renewable energy agenda. So that's why the government decided to launch SEDA and establish and introduce a very specific and very popular program called Feed-in Tariff, which embedded in the RE Act. And from the RE Act, they formed a SEDA Act. And SEDA's main purpose is to run the FIT program, the Feed-in Tariff program. Mm. So Feed-in Tariff program is very, very crucial in developing the RE industry in this country. As you know, back in 2011, 2012, the solar panels cost is very high and it's very expensive. Without the government support, without the Feed-in Tariff program, the solar industry will not be as mature and as flourishing as today. Mm. So it started with the FIT program up until 2017. Once they are mature and they can stand on their own, then EC take over, EnergyCom. So that's why they just announced the large-scale solar program. They have many other self-consumption program. That's all under EnergyCom.
So in that sense, SEDA was, what, an incubator of sorts for renewable energy?
Something like that.
Okay, we are going to talk more about the FIT and how it's been implemented over the past 10 years and also how it applies to biomass, biogas, etc. But I want to talk about just the overall policy landscape. The National Energy Transition Roadmap has now mapped this whole-of-nation strategy for Malaysia to advance from fossil fuel-based to greener and low-carbon systems. I'm wondering what this means for SEDA's role. Does it reduce your role somewhat? Because now there are more ministries, more agencies involved in the sustainable energy agenda. It's no longer just your domain, it's everyone's domain.
First of all, I feel very grateful that our government launched the NETR. It's been quite some time. I've been in SEDA since 2021. I mean, it seems like to the industry player, the government is not really serious to push on the RE agenda. And then I've been telling the minister, advising minister, I said, some other countries have been doing that. President Jokowi been announced a big agenda of RE in Indonesia when they host the APEC. And then Bongbong in Philippines announced they will do away with the ownership of RE projects in Philippines. They allow 100% owned by foreign entity for RE project. So I was telling the previous minister, Wabi Nik Nazmi, that we have to do something. We have to announce something big in Malaysia. Mm. Otherwise, we'll be left behind. So the NETR is a big game changer for the RE industry in this country. Back to your question, whether SEDA function been reduced or not, under the National Energy Policy, NEP, launched by the Economy Ministry back in 2022, if I'm not mistaken, they list down all the government agencies under different segments of energy, under petrol, oil and gas, under electricity supply. And under renewable energy, there's only one agency, and that's SEDA.
Okay, but help me understand then, Dato, because there are so many policy blueprints. Okay. You spoke about the National Energy Policy that came out in 2022, you say. Mm. NETER came out just last year, 2023. Yeah. There's also the Malaysia Renewable Energy Roadmap that SEDA has came up with in 2021. So how do all these policies work together? Doesn't the NETER supersede all of that and encompass everything and become the main blueprint that we follow?
I know you're going to ask that question. Actually, I've been answering that same question. I mean, people get confused. We have MIRA in 2021. We have Dasar Tenaga Negara National Energy Policy. And then now we have NETER. Actually, all of them implement each other. NETER refers to the National Energy Policy and also MIRA. In fact, SEDA also part of the team who produced the NETER. One of my officer seconded to Ministry of Economy for 9 months and been feeding them with all the information because we are the one who hold the data and everything. So under MIRA, our target is 31% RE in installed capacity by 2025. Under the National Energy Policy, we put a target up to 2040. NETER goes beyond that, up to 2050, 70% by 2050. So actually, all these three policy documents actually complement each other.
I see. Okay, so do we still need to refer to the earlier policy documents then?
Yes, of course. Because inside the NETER also, they will refer all the data that we have. For example, the potentials of RE based on, different sources. The solar, the geothermal, biogas, biomass, everything. It's all come from MIRA, the document that SEDA produced.
Okay, so in that sense, it is still very relevant.
Yes.
I want to turn to the attention of ministers and ministries. Your agency has been subject to so many cabinet portfolio reshufflings. Okay. When you took over in February 2021, SEDA was under the Ministry of Energy and Natural Resources.
Correct.
In December 2022, you fell under the Ministry of Natural Resources, Environment and Climate Change. By December 2023, you changed ministers again, and now you are under the Ministry of Energy Transition and Water Transformation, also known as PETRA. Something that I just learned today. Yes. How has your work been affected by all these cabinet reshuffles? It must be difficult to manage with so many leadership changes in such a short period of time.
Yes. Since 2021, so I've been 3 years in SEDA, I served four ministers already. Four ministers, three different ministries. Previously, I know renewable energy and climate change must work together because we push on RE agenda because climate change. So last time we have different ministries in charge of climate change and energy, KASA and KETSA. And then they change, they combine it together under an RCC. So it become easier. But unfortunately, the ministry is huge, too huge to handle by a single minister. So then they split again. Mm. So in terms of program and policy, I think the government still maintain the same policy. Not much big changes.
But does it make it harder for you and your officers to work?
No, not at all.
Okay.
That's the best part about our government. The government run as it is, business as usual.
It may be business as usual, but I was wondering if the rotating minister is the reason why SEDA hasn't approved its 2022 annual report yet, despite it already being March 2024.
I don't think that's the reason.
According to your website, the annual report is still under embargo, the 2022 annual report.
Yeah.
It's already 2024. When will that be issued to the public?
I think very soon because it's not been audited yet. So I've been waiting for the approval by the Auditor General Office.
when can we expect the 2023 annual report then? Because you are a year behind in that.
We just had a meeting under the financial committee to go through the 2023 financial report for both the ARI fund and also the SEDA fund.
Mm. So will that be released?
Yeah, very soon. And then, of course, there's a procedure we have to pass through to the ministry and the ministry and then go to the AG and so.
Okay, all right. So those are going to be up and coming. Yes. I'm speaking to Dato' Hamzah Hussein, CEO of the Sustainable Energy Development Authority, or SEDA. When we come back, we'll discuss why SEDA isn't playing a bigger role in the solar power expansion in Malaysia. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to The Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile, Malaysia's number one 5G network.
Thanks for staying tuned to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Shazana Mokhtar, and with me today is Dato' Hamzah Hussein, CEO of the Sustainable Energy Development Authority, or SEDA. Let's talk about your assessment of how SEDA's programs have been implemented so far. So under NETTER, as you mentioned, Malaysia is looking to improve its RE capacity mix to 70% by 2050. Yeah. We're starting at a base now of about 25%. And this is built under SEDA's oversight over the past 10 years through the FIT mechanism that you were talking about earlier. How would you assess the success of this initiative? What about it made it work well? And what are the gaps that you think could be improved in implementing the FIT?
To be frank, it's not easy at all to develop an RE projects because, as you know, the fossil fuels still enjoying the subsidies. So the RE cost is not as low or in simple words, it's not cheap just because they don't enjoy the subsidy. So far, I think we already achieved completed projects more than 60%. Of course, throughout the years, there's always a lot of problems. One of the major for RE developers is financial. Even the IRENA, the International Renewable Energy Agency, also come out with a study that in this region and all over the world, the financial institutions have a problem to finance the RE projects because they don't really understand and know how to monitor the development of the projects. Mm. Because, for example, to develop a small hydro power plant, SEDA will allow the developers 5 years to build the power plant. It's a very long process before they generate electricity. So during the construction, starting from the approval by SEDA up to the first electricity, first electron they produce, financial institutions have problem how to finance that.
Okay, so you're talking about the challenges for renewable energy providers beyond solar, right? Because solar has graduated, solar, yes. Solar is on its own, yeah. But it's really things like hydropower, biogas, biomass, yes. That is
correct.
That's the challenges. What do you think it's going to take then, Dato, in order for us to be able to scale those industries to something that will actually make a bigger contribution? Right. At the moment, how much does biogas, biomass and small hydropower contribute to the total energy capacity mix?
From the data that we have from our projects, at the moment, we have biomass and biogas about 30% from the all total FIT projects. And small hydro is 48%.
And how much is that from the whole RE energy mix?
Before that, I would like to talk about something, the difference between solar and the non-solar. As you know, in Malaysia, solar is the only RE source that have intermittency. Biogas, biomass, small hydro, they don't have it. Okay, you can produce, and the capacity factor is 3 times than solar. In terms of generation as well, biomass, biogas, small hydro definitely will produce more than solar. Personally, I prefer to have the non-intermittent source. And also, nowadays, people are talking about where you're going to dump the solar panels once it's retired.
Does that come under SEDA's purview?
Not really.
No. So there's nothing under solar that comes under SEDA's purview at the moment?
At the moment, yes, NEM.
Okay.
The rooftop solar. Okay, let's talk about... I go first with the biomass and biogas and small hydro. It's very tough, as I told you. Most of the palm oil mills and also small hydro sites, is in a very remote area. We have problem to connect them to the transmission line. So we have to put up extra money for the grid to the connection point. For solar, it's different. Solar usually is near to the transmission line, to the injection point. Even though solar, we can call it as matured nowadays, but they still have some problems, but not financial. I think most of the financial institution banks, they understand how to monitor and to monitor the development of the construction of solar projects, but not biomass, biogas and small hydro.
So what can SEDA do to make the financial institutions more aware about the viability of biogas, biomass and hydropower? Because the way I see it right now, if it's so difficult to get financing into these sectors, why put so much effort into trying to grow it if solar is already readily there and there's willing investors to expand it?
Yeah. Like I told you before, solar is intermittent, only 4 hours per day. And for biomass and biogas, we are like second largest producer of palm oil in the world. We have a lot of EFB, we have a lot of effluent, the pome.
So what will it take then to get people to realize the potential that we have in biogas and biomass?
Then you have to realize that under the NETR, one of the flagship projects is the bioenergy clustering that is under SEDA.
And what is SEDA doing to advance that?
We are doing that. Now we are in the stage to finalize the TOR for the study. That will take about 1 year. We would like to clusterize the mills we already identified all over Peninsula, Malaysia. And from all those mills, they will feed the EFB to one centralized bioenergy power plant that will produce 20 at least megawatt, because under the study by the IEA and the IRENA, in some countries in Europe, in South America, if you can produce a biomass power plant with capacity 20 to 30 megawatt, you can reduce up to 50% of the cost. So that's what we are doing. That's what our target.
What can we expect in terms of the progress of that? You mentioned terms of reference.
We are doing the study first. I think by end of middle of next year or second half of next year, we're done with the study. Then we'll start with the pilot project. So, we'll choose one of the cluster, and then from the project, we'll see if there's any shortcomings. We all overcome that. And then once we finalize everything, that will become the model.
So we're looking at something about 2-3 years still down the road.
Because our target is 2050. So the 70%.
So that's plans for biomass and biogas. Yes. I want to turn our attention to net energy metering then, which is still under SEDA. Dato, why should this NEM program come under SEDA if most of solar power sector is under the Energy Commission already?
I cannot answer that. Actually, you have to understand, we are the regulators for FIT program. We are not the regulators for NEM. We just implement and run the program. The guidelines, the quota, everything been set by the ministry, monitored by EnergyCom. So we just do it.
Okay. Another thing I'm wondering then, the NEM, I think there's a lot of take-up from households, from commercial industries, right? What there hasn't been as much take-up is from government entities. And I'm wondering why that's the case. Why isn't the government driving forth rooftop solar? Why aren't they leading by example?
For the government buildings, the problem is due to the procurement and contract.
So internal bureaucracy is what's hampering more government buildings from taking up this program.
I advise the minister, maybe we can, last time they have a kind of program that the government agency will enjoy certain monetary benefits of the saving they made if they put up a solar. So maybe we can introduce that again with a better benefits for the agencies who participate in putting up the solar rooftop.
Okay, so giving incentive to ministries and agencies to take this on.
Yeah.
In the little bit of time that we have, Dato, I do want to focus perhaps on Malaysia's position within the broader region. And I'm wondering how involved is SEDA in discussions on the export of renewable energy? Because there hasn't been much updates on this at the federal level. Meanwhile, we do see Singapore liaising directly with Sarawak to explore the supply of renewable energy. I'm wondering wondering how would you address concerns that the federal government is lagging behind on this? Does SEDA have a role in giving advice to the government on how to tackle this?
It's a very interesting question. SEDA is in the committee that decide on the exchange because we also have a lot of producers of RE. Until now, I think today, they're having a meeting to look at the progress of the program on the exchange. So I can't say when going to start to export, but when you ask about what's our position among the ASEAN countries, I think if you look at the figures, of course, I just came back from Indonesia. Indonesia target is about 25% only, the target in 2050 from RE. Our target is 70%. Are we saying that, Indonesia is not serious enough to push on RE agenda? But you have to remember, we are building an ASEAN grid. So all the ASEAN countries will be connected. Maybe we don't need to push so hard on certain source because we can import it from other countries. Laos, Cambodia, they have a lot of hydro. And maybe we can import cheaper electricity from other countries. Same goes to Indonesia. Maybe they prefer to produce more on geothermal instead of solar and other sources because they have like thousands, hundreds of
okay.
On the locations.
But that will come at a cost to us, Dato. If we could create our own renewable energy and export that, then that would be income that comes to us.
Yeah.
Okay, but as you said, the timeline is not certain yet. Yeah. So we will wait to get more news from the government authorities on the exchange. Maybe one final question, Dato. Based on our conversation, you say that SEDA still has a key role, but it does seem that it's being superseded by other agencies. And given that we have the ST and we also have the Malaysia Green Technology and Climate Change Corporation, we also have SEDA, I wonder if there is too much overlap and if things shouldn't be consolidated into one. Would consolidating all these renewable energy agencies into one be more efficient for our NETTER implementation?
Frankly speaking, from my personal point of view, I've been saying this quite some time. People asking, any investor from outside would like to come to Malaysia, who should they approach if they want to build or invest in RE projects? Is it EC? Or is it MGTC? Or is it SEDA? No one can answer that. We are just an agency. The policymaker is there at the ministry level, so I can't really say much about it. But yes, at the moment, under the SEDA Act, we have to play our roles, advising the ministry, advising the minister, and most of the people from outside will come to SEDA to get advice on how to go about dealing business of RE in this country. So MGTC is focusing more on the green technology, not really on the renewable energy per se. SEDA, as you know, we are the kindergarten, we are the school, we are the universities. We run the difficult part. No one wants to do. I don't think Energy Commission would like to do the biogas and small hydro because they have bigger power plant, the IPPs, the coal, the gas power plant they have to monitor. So we are doing the upcoming RE industry.
Okay, you're looking to the future and the potential that we have. Dato, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with me today.
Sure.
I've been speaking to Dato Hamza Hussein, CEO of the Sustainable Energy Development Authority. This has been The Breakfast Grill on BFM 89.9.
Business Fueling Minds, The Breakfast Grill with U-Mobile Biz, Malaysia's number one 5G network. 5G makes business sense.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.